This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg. I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're going to talk about the do's and don'ts of skincare when you are pregnant or if you are breastfeeding. So this is a topic that I've heard a lot of students ask me about. And to be honest, it is not my forte. Yes, I have a cabinet full of scrubs and serums and all sorts of lotions and potions, but it is not my forte. So to have this conversation, I have Dr. Marissa Gershik. She is a board-certified dermatologist in New York City practicing at MDCS, the Medical Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery Center, and is a clinical assistant professor of dermatology at New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medicine. So Marissa and I met, I'd say maybe about 2 months ago. We were both panelists for Mommy Mingle's conversation, and people were just flocking to her asking questions about skincare. And between that and people asking me, I thought, let's dive into this. So Marissa gives so much wonderful information about what you should or shouldn't use. Is there anything you should skip when you're pregnant? What does it mean to have an all-natural product? Do we want that? Do we not want that? What do we do about acne or unwanted hair growth? Oh, Marissa gives some fantastic information. I think you're very much going to enjoy it. Before we get to that, just some exciting news to share. The studio is really starting to blossom open, so we've already added some in-person classes, some morning and evening classes, and we're going to just keep mindfully adding back in the classes as our in-person community grows. Also, as of September, our workshops are going to be back in person, but if you're thinking, ugh, I wanted to do some, and it's past September that I'm going to be having my baby, what am I going to do? I can't take the classes in New York. We're going to have these classes, well, on demand, the workshops like the childbirth ed and the caring for newborn, the infant safety CPR. We're going to continue our pre and postnatal classes though online. So even though they're in the studio live, some are being live streamed and hybrid from the studio, and some are staying just online for that online community. So we've opened these doors. We have this beautiful, thriving community, and we're going to continue to honor that and continue to watch it flourish. Also, I've had people ask about what to do between classes when they're a little achy and have some pains. So I created a free downloadable. It is called The 5 Simple Solutions to the Most Common Pregnancy Pains. And you can grab that on our website. So if you want your little cheat sheet of, okay, my back hurts, my neck hurts, my hamstrings are tight, my hips hurt, I got you covered. You can grab that from our website. I also have a favor to ask. If you are enjoying this podcast, which I truly hope you are, I will ask you if you can take a moment and head over to either Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this from and leave a rating and review. It helps people find us. And so hopefully this information that you're enjoying can then be heard by others. All right, my last thing, I promise. Just a reminder for those that are interested in our 85-hour online teacher training, It is going to happen online for September and October. That's our early training. And then November and December for our late training. And then we're back in person for those. I'm incredibly excited about both the opportunity to work with people online because we can reach a broader audience. We actually have someone from Spain signed up for the September, October. How amazing is that? But then we'll be back in person for 2022. Yay. All right, we're going to take a super quick break. When we come back, please enjoy my conversation with Dr. Marissa Garshek.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks so much for having me.
I have to tell you, so when we did that, I think it was a Mommy Mingles conversation together. All the questions were about skincare, and I'm thinking, we need to have a deeper conversation. Clearly, people have concerns and are curious about when they're pregnant and postpartum, what should they do? What can they put on their skin? So I am so excited. So thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, skincare is definitely an area in the context of pregnancy and postpartum that there's a lot of information to sift through. So excited to go through that.
Perfect. All right. So before we dive into that, I would love to hear a little bit about you and what drew you to becoming a dermatologist.
So yeah, absolutely. So I'm a board certified dermatologist. My name is Marissa Garshek, and I'm a board certified dermatologist in a private practice in New York City, located in Midtown East and Upper East Side. I'm also a assistant clinical professor of dermatology at Cornell, where I also teach the residents there. In my practice, I see people of all ages, children, all to parents, grandparents, all generations, and love doing general dermatology, cosmetic dermatology, as well as surgical dermatology. And my personal interest in dermatology really came from my own sort of dealings with acne growing up as a teenager. And then as I got to understand the field a bit better, just realizing the impact the skin has on the way people feel about themselves, as it did for me, and being able to help people support them through that process of achieving skin that helps them both feel and look good has been sort of the main driver. And then the bonus is that there's so much variety. So in a given day, I can do procedures, I can treat with medications, I can make something go away very quickly, and I can also sort of have the challenges that come with long-term care and sort of working towards a long-term goal. So all in all, I can feel very fortunate to be able to say that I love what I do each day and love getting the opportunity to help people with their skin.
Oh yeah. I mean, the skin is the first thing people see. And as we were talking before we started, I never had a huge acne problem, but my brother did. And I know that it really kind of emotionally held him back. So I can understand if your skin's not feeling great, how you want to hide yourself, and then your personality can kind of get dwindled a little. So I love that you help people. Thank you for that. So let's dive into skincare with pregnancy and postpartum. Oh my goodness. Until I was working with pregnant people and then became pregnant myself, I didn't really think about there's stuff that you should or shouldn't put on your skin. I don't think the average person thinks about that. So let's dive into what is safe to use during pregnancy. And then also, what should people skip when they're pregnant?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree. And I think it's definitely overlooked because a lot of the things for our skin are available at the drugstore or at a local convenience store. And so you just assume that if it's available so easily, it must be safe in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so as far as things that are safe and you should definitely continue with, certainly cleansers, so gentle cleansers, moisturizers, sunscreens. The caveat with sunscreen is I do usually recommend mineral-based sunscreens for those who are pregnant and postpartum. Mineral sunscreens are sunscreens containing either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, which are as opposed to the chemical filters, which you may see in ingredients known as avobenzone or octisalate. And so you want to avoid the chemical filters. It's thought that the mineral blockers actually just sort of sit and form a shield on the surface of the skin. And so they're generally less irritating on the skin. And so for, especially for those who have sensitive skin, we always recommend it, but that's also what you're going to use for babies. So we always say if it's safe enough for a baby, then it's safe enough for the mom. So mineral skin, sunscreens is what you're going to want to look for.
Say it again of what you don't want, because I want to make sure people have a moment to even write that down or just kind of grasp it. Cause the ones that you're talking about are, kind of the white thick ones, like the zinc, is that correct?
Exactly. So I'm really glad you mentioned that because historically mineral blockers, which are zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, historically were the ones that people thought of as like the lifeguard with the thick white coat on the nose. So that's definitely imprinted in everybody's memory. And they're like, oh my goodness, that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm already dealing with other issues of pregnancy. Now I'm going to have to walk around looking like the white ghost. And so what's great is many companies have designed mineral sunscreens that go on easily, absorb easily, and have tinted formulations, which we'll get into why it's also helpful in the setting of pregnancy. But for people who actually suffer during pregnancy of a condition like hyperpigmentation or melasma, mm-hmm. wearing a tinted sunscreen can actually provide additional benefit. And so as far as the sunscreen key ingredient, zinc oxide, titanium dioxide, and then plus minus a tint will give you sort of full great protection. And so again, lots of great brands making thin, lightweight, easy to absorb products there. So some of my favorites include a brand La Roche-Posay, which you can get at the drugstore. Another brand, Elta MD, is also wonderful. The key really is just looking at the back of the product and just seeing if those two main ingredients are the zinc oxide or titanium dioxide.
And then what are some of the ones to stay away from?
Yeah, so to skip are essentially chemical filters, which unfortunately, there's a very long list of them. So I always say it's actually easier to look at the label and just look for zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. Okay. And if you see anything else as an active ingredient, chances are it's a chemical filter. But some examples include avobenzone, octisalate, homosalate. And so in general, though, it's a lot easier to make sure it's a pure mineral by just looking to see if it's one, either zinc or titanium, you're good. If you see any other words or letters, because a lot of them can sometimes exactly just skip over it. And it's important to look because some products will actually make, we'll say they're mineral based, but they'll also have another chemical filter in it. Mm. And so those you'll still see that other name. So you want to really avoid that. But as far as other things that are safe, for people who are also concerned with like anti-aging, it is still safe to do like a vitamin C antioxidant, so a topical serum in the morning. Antioxidants generally provide protection against free radical damage. So that is still something that's safe to use if you're already using. Typically, as far as what to skip when we think about acne or anti-aging skincare, one of the big ones is Retin-A or retinols or retinoids. So you might have this in a prescription form or in an over-the-counter form, and all of them you want to avoid. And so this is important. If you happen to get pregnant or find out you're pregnant and you were using it, you don't need to panic, but it is something that once you knowingly are trying to become pregnant or are pregnant, you do want to stop using.
That actually, I remember when I was pregnant, that made me sad because I use that regularly and it really does a beautiful job on helping my skin. Can you explain? I mean, I totally put it aside and I'm not telling people to use it, but I'm wondering what is it about retinol that makes one's skin so beautiful?
Yeah, no, it really does. I always say it's just like the glow maker. It just really works well. And what it's doing is it's stimulating skin cell turnover. So it actually regulates the rate at which our skin cells turn over. And so for some people, if their skin cells are turning over too slowly, they get a buildup of almost what looks like dead skin, but that looks like dullness of the skin. Sometimes you can have a buildup of like pigmentation. And so when you use a retinol, what you're doing is you're regulating that skin cell turnover. So you're always having essentially like a fresh, new, radiant skin on the surface, which gives people that really nice glow. And what's nice about it is it's also boosting collagen production. And so what we know about collagen production is over time, we do lose collagen. And so that actually helps when you sort of support it, to smooth out the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles. So it's definitely our sort of gold standard anti-aging ingredient. And it's definitely one of the most missed ingredients when it comes to pregnancy.
Yes.
But there are some substitutes. So I do tell my patients that another ingredient that can be used and is safe in pregnancy is something known as glycolic acid. So glycolic acid is actually an alpha hydroxy acid, which basically means it's an exfoliating acid. So it's also getting rid of dead skin cells. So you're still going to get that brightening effect on the skin. You'll get a nice glow. Importantly, though, you do want to use low concentrations of glycolic acid in the setting of pregnancy. So while you may see things available at like 20% or 30%, you really want to steer clear of that. But usually like 10% or less tends to be considered a safe percentage in the setting of pregnancy. And that's a nice sort of substitute to get some anti-aging benefits. Different from a retinol, glycolic acid really shouldn't be used every night. Mm-hmm. It should just be used like once or twice a week because it really does kind of get that dead skin off the surface, but it also can potentially be irritating if used too often.
Would a scrub do the same thing? But I guess it doesn't get the collagen building or whatever.
So scrubs definitely can be an effective way to exfoliate because they're helping to kind of buff away that dead skin. And generally speaking, most of the ingredients used in scrubs should be okay because they're more like these little micro particles. Mm-hmm. Some scrubs, however, can actually be irritating on the skin. And so, as dermatologists, we're always very cautious about injuring or disrupting the skin barrier. Mm-hmm. So when you use a scrub, if it's made out of like these like chunks of like walnut extract or whatnot, and sometimes the more we feel it, the better it feels, but actually the more we feel it, probably the worse it is for our skin. Mm-hmm. So kind of more not pregnancy aside, I just think it's important to know that whatever you're using is still gentle on the skin.
That makes a lot of sense. Can I jump into the collagen? That I've been fascinated by that for a while. So I know that collagen, we start to decrease. Is it around 35? When does collagen start to slow down production?
So yeah, sadly, it's actually in our 20s and it's actually, I know, it's crazy. I know. It's like very sad. I mean, the good news is that it starts happening sort of at a molecular level in our 20s. Like even at 20, it's thought that we lose 1% of collagen each year after you turn 20.
After 20? Oh my gosh, that is in the 30s. Okay, clearly I'm wrong.
But what we are sort of fortunate is that we don't see it until our 30s. So in our 20s, we're sort of like living the dream and don't even realize it's happening. And then that's really why some people kind of like wake up in their 30s and they're like, wait a second, I never even had these lines. Like, where did these come from? And it's the process has been happening. And that's why, as much as possible, I mean, if there's one take home from all of this, it's obviously stay safe as far as skincare and what you're doing during pregnancy. But certainly once you're either postpartum and certain things become safe, or even once you're postpartum and you're either no longer breastfeeding or things of that nature, definitely staying on top of your skincare routine can really do great things long term.
So I know there's a lot of collagen supplements and I've been taking one for a while. Is that actually doing anything for my skin? Cause I had a conversation with a physical therapist recently and she's like, it doesn't really help anything. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so it's a great question and definitely a hot topic. So I would say as far as collagen supplements, the theoretical value is definitely there. So we know that collagen is good for us. We know that it supports many different things in our body, not just our skin. But what becomes challenging with supplements is that we don't know how much of what we actually ingest goes through our sort of digestive system, gets absorbed by our bloodstream, and then gets to the skin. Mm-hmm. And then has an impact on our skin. So what we know is that generally they're considered safe. What we don't know is actually how effective they are. So there are some studies that have more recently shown that hydrolyzed collagen, which are basically like the little peptides, so sort of collagen already being broken down, may actually get absorbed by the bloodstream and potentially have an impact improving elasticity or hydration of the skin. But because we don't have enough evidence to support the benefits yet, and because we know that they can be expensive for people, we're not yet recommending it across the board. Now, in my practice, if somebody comes in or if somebody like you is using them, I'm not going to discourage the use if you like it, if you're seeing benefits, because again, the risk is very little. It's just essentially to your pocketbook in terms of just the cost of maintaining it. Mm-hmm. And I do think we'll probably learn more information in these coming years. I think there's a lot of research money being put towards it. Right now, most of those studies are being done by the companies themselves. So there's always some degree of inherent bias. So we're sort of waiting till we get these large studies to really understand it on a wider scale.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's come back to some of the products, because I know some products claim to be, I'm going to put this in quotes, like all natural. Is there anything in those all natural that one should avoid? Because I can imagine if you're pregnant, you're being super mindful about what you put in your body, and then you see all natural, you may feel at ease. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So, I mean, I do think that sometimes this type of marketing can be very deceiving. And the reason is that when it comes to things that are all natural, there isn't as much regulation behind it. And so what that means is that we don't actually know if these ingredients have been studied in the setting of pregnancy or not. So the decisions and the reasons we say to avoid certain things are on the basis of the fact that there have either been studies or because we only have limited studies, that's how we're coming to that conclusion. But most all natural products don't go through the same sort of rigorous testing. So we don't have a lot of the information. And so for that reason alone, I always say even all natural products, you should discuss with your doctor, whether it's your OBGYN, a dermatologist, a primary care doctor, to just make sure. Now, that being said, the other sort of challenge with all natural products is that even though they're all natural, sometimes they can be irritating to the skin. So my classic example is poison ivy, which obviously we're not knowingly rubbing poison ivy on our skin, but as an entity, it's something that's known to cause, exactly, is known to cause an allergic reaction and is a natural substance. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that all natural will prevent you from developing any kind of irritation. So there is an ingredient that I'll caveat by saying we don't necessarily have enough evidence, but it's thought to be almost like a retinol alternative. And it is a natural ingredient known as bakuchiol, which I'll spell, but it's B-A-K-U-C-H-I-O-L. So bakuchiol, just because it doesn't necessarily sound how it's spelled. And so with that, I would say there are some studies to show that, again, it mimics a retinol benefit, so you may still get some of that skin cell turnover. That being said, even though it's thought to be safe in pregnancy, we don't have all the studies. So that would be something to take on a case-by-case basis with your doctor.
Mm, I had never even heard of that. I'm going to have you respell it to me later so I can put that in our show notes.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to talk about, it was interesting. I did some research and one thing I found was that during pregnancy, there seems to be some acne and unwanted hair growth and other skin problems. So we're going to take a super quick break and when we come back, let's talk about some of the unwanted skin problems that arise during pregnancy. We'll be right back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so a lot of people do get that pregnant glow, but sometimes I'm assuming it's because of hormones, because there's such a huge influx. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just making that assumption, but things can start to really change. Acne, as I mentioned, unwanted hair growth, other skin problems. What's happening and what can be done during that time, especially with the pregnancy acne?
Yeah, so absolutely. And I actually think that it's so important to raise awareness about this because people feel so discouraged. They're like, wait, why don't I have the glow that everyone has? And the reality is, not everyone gets the glow. And in fact, probably majority of people don't. And so it's okay. And so if you are dealing with these skin changes, whether you had acne prior to pregnancy and it's getting worse, or you've actually never had acne before and it's all of a sudden you're developing it, you were exactly right in acknowledging that it's related to the hormonal changes. And because of the relationship to hormonal changes, sometimes people may even find it varies per trimester. So maybe in the first trimester, based on the levels of certain hormones, it's worse. And then in the second trimester, it just kind of clears up. And then they go through sort of these fluctuations. And it is. It's basically the hormones kind of can contribute to increased oil production, which can lead to clogged pores and as a result lead to increased breakouts. The other challenge is that, of course, in acne, we're somewhat limited in what we can use. So somebody whose acne may have been very well controlled prior to pregnancy, we've now told them they can't use their retinoid. Two other ingredients, benzoyl peroxide and salicylic acid, are often recommended to avoid, especially at higher strengths. And so for that reason, all these key ingredients that we rely on, we don't have anymore. And so people can experience changes related to that. As far as other changes, I initially briefly touched on it, but discoloration, so hyperpigmentation, so that can occur in the form of melasma, which is like discoloration on the face, forehead, cheeks, or, I mean, what people know of as the what's called linea nigra, so the line in the belly area that can develop as you sort of develop on in your pregnancy. And a lot of that is also related to hormones. So at the end of the day, it's all related to hormones. So the good news is it all tends to go away once the hormones sort of level out. But the more challenging thing is sometimes where we kind of have to ride it out. That being said, there are some treatments certainly for acne that are considered safe in the setting of pregnancy. And so I can mention a few of those key ingredients. Sure. And then similarly for hyperpigmentation as well. So for acne, azelaic acid, which is available in a prescription or in some over-the-counter formulations, is safe. And it's a great option because it not only helps prevent breakouts, but it's also great for just evening out the skin tone. So I call it like my multitasker in pregnancy because it's good anti-aging, good for acne, good for discoloration. And it's what I used in my pregnancies. And so I'm definitely a fan of that. The glycolic acid that we mentioned earlier is also safe in the setting of pregnancy at low concentrations. And that's another ingredient that can help both with discoloration as well as helping to sort of eliminate some of the breakouts as well.
This is so important because we all want to feel our best, and putting our face forward is really going to help. So thank you for demystifying some of this. Now, I know that Botox and different fillers is quite popular. So I'm assuming, in my notes I have yay or nay, I'm assuming it's a nay, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it is a nay, and most of that is, again, just related to the fact that we've never actually tested it or studied it, and we're generally in the philosophy to avoid things that are elective, just because you never know. And so because it hasn't been studied and we don't necessarily know if there are any negative implications in the context of pregnancy, we just avoid it. That being said, there have been studies of people who have either had Botox or fillers, didn't realize they were pregnant and then became pregnant, and there haven't been any issues. And typically when we use Botox for cosmetic purposes, we're using a relatively low amount compared to when it's used for like migraines or other medical conditions. So in some of those other conditions where maybe the use in pregnancy has been looked at a little bit more, there weren't any sort of negative effects. So my sort of parting line is don't do it if you in pregnancy. If you happen to have it done, don't panic. If you didn't realize and you find out you're pregnant, we don't expect there to be any major concerns or issues. With fillers, I would say fillers are generally made up of something known as hyaluronic acid, which is actually a natural sugar molecule that lives in our own body. So other than the fact that doing the procedure may result in maybe increased bruising in the setting of pregnancy, we don't necessarily, again, worry about the safety of it as causing any negative implications, but we tend to avoid it. And with fillers, I always say, especially, I mean, when you're pregnant, your body's changing so much. So if you put filler in while you're pregnant, you may actually not need that volume. You may actually get the natural volume boost while you're pregnant.
That makes sense. Cause the blood volume in your body is increased about 40 to 60%. So those blood vessels are already a little more dilated. Is that the reason?
So that's why you could be at an increased risk of bruising. Exactly. And then as far as just filling, so oftentimes we use filler to fill in areas of volume loss. And sometimes people find during pregnancy that the areas of volume loss actually plump up a bit. And even some people will notice some like natural, like swelling of their lips that happen. And they're like, oh wait, did I do lip filler? And they'll just sort of see like their lips getting a little bigger. And so some people actually like it. Those will be certain perks of pregnancy that people will find. And they'll be like, oh, my cheeks look great. And so I usually say, since your body is so dynamic in pregnancy, particularly when it comes to filler, I mean, again, I don't do it anyway, but even if there were the option, I think it's best to wait until you're sort of done. You're no longer pregnant to do that.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. I want to move on to, I feel like, a very hot topic, stretch marks. So I have a friend that's a dermatologist, and I asked her when I was pregnant, I'm like, what should I use? Cause I was slathering everything. I had cocoa butter. I was gifted from some companies some stretch mark cream, and I was religious about it. And then at 35 weeks, I remember my belly felt kind of itchy and just uncomfortable. And then the next morning I woke up, I had this like circle of stretch marks around my belly button. And even though I used everything, and she told me it's hereditary. She's like, no matter what you use, it may not solve the problem. Is that all true?
It is unfortunately, in the sense that there is some hope, but a big part of it is genetic. And so, I do think that it's important for anybody out there to give yourself a little bit of slack, and knowing that there's only so much you can be thinking about during pregnancy, and there's so much out there. And sometimes stretch marks do happen, and exactly. And there are things that we can do for them. That being said, I mean, as somebody who used cocoa butter myself during pregnancy, knowing that there's not a lot of evidence behind it, there's something to be said about using stuff and sort of it making me feel good. And so I do think, so there is some, well, for many of the ingredients that are commonly, available, we don't necessarily have great evidence. Some products or ingredients, I should say, that have some evidence in preventing stretch marks are ingredients such as hyaluronic acid, which actually I mentioned is, what we inject filler with, but it's also commonly found in moisturizing products. So really any moisturizer is probably going to do the trick, in the sense that just by hydrating the skin, you're going to get some benefit there. Another ingredient that does have some evidence in it is something known as Centella Asiatica. which again, I can give you the spelling later, but Centella Asiatica is also found in some creams that you might be able to see it find at the drugstore. There is a specific company that makes a product with it called Trofolastin, T-R-O-F-O-L-A-S-T-I-N. And so those are the two ingredients that are sort of supported by the American Academy of Dermatology at having some evidence to prevent stretch marks. Now, again, if you use them and you still get stretch marks, it doesn't mean you've been doing anything wrong. And if you use them and you don't get stretch marks, it doesn't necessarily mean it was only because of the creams. And then postpartum, if you have the stretch marks, there are ways and things that we can do for them. Again, many fade on their own. So oftentimes people will come in sort of a few weeks after birth and say, I have these stretch marks. And then we'll sort of talk about some other things. They'll come back a few months later and then everything will be gone. And they're like, oh, I didn't even get a chance to do anything. So I think it's important to remember that sometimes they fade. There are prescription retinoids can actually be helpful to speed up the resolution of stretch marks. So that would be something that if you're not breastfeeding, is an option for you immediately after pregnancy, but certainly down the line, if you do breastfeed, you can use that again. And then we have lots of lasers. So lasers and devices like microneedling help to stimulate new collagen, and that can be helpful for stretch marks as well. And there are also lasers that help with the color. So some people get like the red stretch marks, and we have lasers to help with the color there. So stretch marks, use creams if you want to. Key ingredients to look for are hyaluronic acid and Centella Asiatica. Treatments for after pregnancy exist. And generally speaking, if you are interested in treatment, I always say it's worth starting early. So obviously you're very busy postpartum, so don't make it a priority, but some dermatologists are offering virtual visits. So even just to kind of have the conversation, the sooner you start the treatment, typically the better the result.
That is helpful. Thank you for that. I do have a question asked about vitamin E. Does that help? Because I thought that helps skin heal, but again, I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that sort of falls into the same category as like the cocoa butter, where we just don't have the evidence to show that it does. To be honest, it probably doesn't hurt, but we really don't have enough evidence. Again, I do believe though in pregnancy, there is also the component of like a you do you. And I think as long as it's not harmful to use, and it feels good. And again, some of these products do. And as long as it's not, creating a significant unnecessary expense, if there's a product that you happen to like that has it in it and it's been working well, don't feel discouraged or that you have to stop it.
All right. Thank you. I'm getting such great information from this. All right. So let's now skip to postpartum. You gave a wonderful list of things that people should avoid while pregnant. If someone is breastfeeding, is it pretty much the same list?
It is. And a lot of that is just based on the fact that, again, most of the things haven't necessarily been studied. So we wouldn't knowingly do all these things in the context of breastfeeding. So I generally say things still remain off limits that are off limits in pregnancy.
All right. So if someone is missing their retinol, they're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
They are. And again, it is a little struggle, but there are other things we can do even in the in-office setting to get that sort of postpartum glow, because I think that's especially when everyone's sort of feeling those changes and really likes that pick-me-up.
I'd also assume that if someone chooses to nurse their child, they're hydrating a lot because of the fluid that we're losing in our bodies. You know, we need to keep ourselves hydrated. Does that play a role in one's skin appearance?
So yeah, so that is definitely a $1 million question, because we all want to believe that if we drink like 8 glasses of water, our skin's going to look perfect. And unfortunately, hydration of the body and hydration of the skin sometimes work a little differently. It's definitely going to help. It's not going to hurt. But again, the impact of what's happening in the body, we don't necessarily know. So some people can drink a great amount, but still feel like they have dry skin. And a lot of that's because the moisture content of our skin also relies on the fact that moisture in our skin can be lost through the skin barrier. So if you have a skin barrier, which again is just that sort of outer layer of your skin that's either weak and you're susceptible to skin conditions or eczema or things like that, or you just are in a period where your skin has evolved, and sometimes in the setting of pregnancy and breastfeeding, our skin just does, it loses a lot of that extra moisture. You can still experience dryness of the skin with still having drink a lot of water. So I think it's one of those things. It's kind of like an old wives' tale. Definitely drink water because it's important for many different things. But as far as the impact directly on the skin, now if it's an extreme and you haven't drank for days, certainly we can see the skin have that sort of dullness to it that can relate from dehydration.
Okay, you burst my bubble on a few things, but I'm glad that. Don't be sorry. I like to have real data information. I feel like when it comes to skincare, and I'm probably not alone, things get passed to us. And again, I don't even know where I've heard that from about, the cocoa butter and, and hydration and collagen. I feel like I hear it from people. I probably read it in magazines and then I stick to it. And so I'm glad that you're giving me the actual facts because I think that can then help people.
Yeah, no, it is. But I always want this to come across in my practice, whether I'm doing even like media interviews or social media. I think it's so important that skincare is such a personalized decision. And while we have this information out there, and my job is to empower people so they can make the right decisions in what they do, I still maintain a firm belief that if what you're doing is working and it's not harming you, go for it, because so much of this is sort of feeling in control, and especially in pregnancy when there's so many things that are out of our control.
Yeah.
If you feel comfortable using the cocoa butter, go for it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's about, right, how it feels. Like I just started using this new body oil and it feels like I feel luxurious when I use it, and it feels so special and it smells so good. And yet I know it's probably not doing a huge amount for my skin, but it does a lot for me mentally. And so I feel like, well, that's a benefit. You know, I kind of glow from it. My skin feels great, but it's really what happens mentally as I'm putting it on. So I think I totally agree with you. If it's making you feel good, go with it. Okay, we're going to take one more quick break, and when we come back, what is one tip or piece of advice you'd like to offer new and expectant parents? And it can be with either your parent hat on or your dermatologist hat on or whatever you want to share. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we are back. What would you like to offer people?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it crosses both territories. So my work as a dermatologist and my work as a parent, but it really is don't sweat the small stuff. And I think that's can be taken very literally. I think it's important to remember that you are producing another human. And if you accidentally use one cream one night that you weren't supposed to in pregnancy, chances are it will still be okay. Similarly, if you happen to get a pimple or a breakout while pregnant, and it's obviously can be very discouraging and frustrating, it's also okay. And obviously there are resources to help kind of get through these little things that come up in during the time, but it's important for you to take that time to remember, just don't sweat the small stuff. Think about the amazing things that your body is doing. And then as you transition into having a little baby around, remember the importance of still not sweating the small stuff, and that your primary job as a parent and caretaker is so substantial that if there's one night where the feeding doesn't go as well, that all things considered, you are doing amazing things. And just remember that each day there are positives that are going to come out of it.
I like that. I like your positive attitude. Where can people find your work?
Yeah. So I work at a practice, MDCS, which is Medical Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery Centers, located in Midtown Manhattan and on the Upper East Side. And I'm also on social media, so you can see me on Instagram or TikTok at Dr. Marissa Garshick. And so I would love if anybody has any follow-up questions, certainly you can pass them along to Deb, or if there's anything I can ever help with, I'm more than happy to, and I'm always available.
Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed this. You can tell I love skincare. I have quite the routine. My husband laughs at me with, like, you open the cabinet and I'm like, there's so much. But I think it's fascinating and I think it can make someone feel good. And so thank you for demystifying some of the skincare around pregnancy and postpartum. Thank you so much.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.